Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Numbers chapter 13, and we're going to verse 17. It's going to be on your screen for your convenience, but we always ask you to bring your Bible because that's important, not only to us, but to God. The Word of God says this, and if you found it, shout praise the Lord. It said, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain." Verse 18 says, "And see the land what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether it in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be good, whether it be wood therein or not." And it says, "And be ye of a good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land." And I like this next part of the scripture. It says, "Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes." And so, in other words, it was basically, we're reading that it is a time of harvest. Okay? And so, I want to talk to you just for a few moments about a message that we've entitled, "Take the Land." Look at your neighbor and tell them, "Take the Land." I've subtitled it this, though, "Living on the Border of What Could Have Been." Living on the border of what could have been. I believe that Gospel Lighthouse Church is a place of restoration. Yes. I believe we're a house of restoration. I believe that we are a place, although the enemy would like to attack us and tell us that we're not, but I believe that we're a place where the hurting can be healed. I've been healed in this room many times. But I also believe that the devil has stolen from God's people long enough. I believe the devil has come, and as John 10:10, it says, "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy." He fights against us physically. He fights against us emotionally, materially, even spiritually. If he can't get you while you're awake, he tries to get you when you're asleep, right? But although his attempts and what he does is causing havoc, causing confusion, we do have this promise. Jesus says, although the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus came to give us life and that we might have abundant life. How many wants the abundant life? I don't want to settle for just life. How about you? Because life can be so many areas in our life can be just wild and crazy, right? But I want an abundant life. And when Jesus said abundant life, it's that Greek word zoe, and you've heard it before, life to the fullest. And that's what I desire. And so I believe that God has got us on assignment this morning that we need to recover back what the devil has stolen. And I believe that we as the children of God, through the anointing of God, we can take the land. Bow your heads with us this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Let your word go forth in power and demonstration of your spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of the reading of God's word. So in this first segment this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about 2 out of 12. 2 out of 12. When you look at this backstory, and I love this story, this backstory is very simple. God has delivered the Hebrews from the land of Egypt, and he's leading them to the promised land. That's the backstory. Simply put, this is what is happening. God brought the Hebrews out to bring them in to the promised land. God brought them out to bring them in. Amen? But this is a story, and I think this is the story for everyone in this room, that God brought us out to bring us in. And that's your story. Everybody in this room, you were once an alcoholic, but God brought you out to bring you in. You once were addicted to all types of drugs and different things, but God brought you out to bring you in. You were a liar, you were a cheater, you were a fornicator, you got all involved in people's business, you gossiped, you did all of these things, but God brought you out to bring you in to his presence, into a life of abundance. And so God orders Moses to send out some spies. Now, this is amazing to me. I love this story because God has a plan and He has a purpose for everything that He does. Like we said last Sunday, God is calculated. And so God tells Moses, the leader. Now remember, Moses is leading 3 million people out of Egypt. This is 3 million people. It's amazing to imagine how many people he is leading. He sends 12 spies to spy out the land of promise. And they're to bring back a report. Now look at the scripture. It's going to be on your screen. Numbers 13 and verse 18. He says this. He's specific. He says, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwells therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it is good or bad. And what cities they be that they dwell in, whether it in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether it be wood therein or not. And so he's specifically giving them what I call five keys of a very simple spy checklist. Do you have a spy checklist? Here's a checklist. I love this. It's a very simple spy checklist. It's going to be on your screen. Number one, see the land. Number two, see the people. Number three, see the cities. Very simple. But I like numbers four and five. Numbers four and five were the most important keys. Number four key was for them to be of a good courage. Everybody say good courage. And then the number five key was to do what? To bring back fruit. Five simple keys of a spy checklist. And so numbers 13 and 20, this is where we've missed it, I think. And where that second part says, and be, it's on your screen, and be of a good courage and bring back the fruit of the land. Now listen, if you and I are going to do exactly what God has called us to do in our assignment that He has given to us, to go out and take the land, we're going to have to be of good courage. We cannot walk in fear and doubt. We can't have animosity, trepidation, or even apathy in our lives. We can't settle and sit in our pew and think, well, I'm just going to let somebody else do it. Because you'll never fulfill your God-given destiny if you're relying on somebody else to do the work of God for your life. We cannot accept that anymore. We must rise up. Just like Moses said, get up and go out. Amen? And so when you look at this whole event, now for the Jewish, just to give you guys some insight, by the way, Rosh Hashanah starts tonight. I didn't look at the moon, so I'm not for sure, but I believe it starts tonight. This is the Jewish holiday, the beginning of the year, the new year for the Jews. The Jews know this story. This story that I'm telling you is the worst day in Jewish history. It is called the ninth of Av. This is a horrible, terrible day in Jewish history. What God is designing for the church, I believe for us today, is to learn from their mistakes and not let that day when God is calling us to take the land, don't let that become the worst day in our life. All right? And so you look at this event. Now, I want to look at this because there's steps to this whole event. I'm going to talk about these four steps. Number one, the first step, and it's on your screen, is their purpose. Everybody say purpose. What was their purpose? Anybody? Let me show you what Deuteronomy says. Because Deuteronomy actually tells us what the purpose is. Deuteronomy 6 and 23. It says, and he, God, brought us out from thence, out of Egypt, and he, God, might bring us in to give us the land. Everybody say, take the land, to give us the land which God, which He, swear unto our fathers. That's the purpose. That's the bottom line, is they were to take the land. Their purpose was simple, take the land. Number two, they also not only had a purpose, they had a crossroad. There's people in this room, you should not be at a crossroad in your life. But the reason you're at a crossroad is because you've not taken the land when God has told you to. And I'll explain to myself in a little bit. They're at a crossroad. Look at Numbers 13 and verse 17. It says, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And he said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain. All right? So what is their crossroad? What is the crossroad that they're at right now? Here it is. get up, and go up. That's the crossroad. But Pastor Carl, there's people who are stuck right now at their crossroad. Just like we alluded to last Sunday morning, we talked about when Elijah said, there are people of Baal and there are people of God, and here they are, they're stuck between two opinions. That's what Elijah said. When you're facing, in a modern day culture, Elijah's telling them, how long are you going to be stuck between the culture of today or the culture of God? How long are you going to be stuck between two opinions? How long are you going to sit there and see the writing on the wall and God is telling you to get up and to go up, but you've sat there in fear, you've sat there in anger, you've sat there in jealousy, you've sat there in all these emotions when God is saying, hey, look, I want to bless your life. I want to fulfill your life. I want to pour out my blessings on you, but I can't do anything. My hands are tied because you have refused to go and take the land. How long are you going to be stuck between two opinions? Miss, let me give you some help. There's no middle road in God. You got a lukewarm church of Laodicea, and God spews that lukewarm church out. He said, I wish you were hot, I wish you were cold. There's nothing wrong with being cold. There's nothing wrong with being hot. There's everything wrong with being stuck in the middle. Amen? Number three, their report. Everybody say report. So you have a purpose, you have a crossroad. Now you're getting to a report. Numbers 13 and verse 27 says, and they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest. Surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, though, the people, they be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And so, here's the report. The report, the land was fruitful. The people are strong. The cities are walled and very great. And there's giants in the land. That's the report. Just as plain and simple, right on paper. The spies, now, think about this. We're talking about 2 out of 12 here. The spies were first-hand witnesses of the land. There's nothing wrong with what they're saying. They're giving the facts. The facts were straight. I went to another ENT appointment last week. The facts are the facts. I'm still dizzy. There's still no healing or no way of getting any kind of help with what's going on. I went through. That's the facts. They said, here's the facts. This is what you have. It's a very rare disease. It is a syndrome. There's nothing we can do for you. That's the facts. But I'm not a person of facts. I'm a person of faith. Yes. Amen? And this is what we have to understand. The spies, their facts are straight. But this is where the problem was. The people, they're still stuck between two opinions. Their report was the facts. Some of you have gotten a report, and that's been the facts. But whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the report of the Lord? Are you going to believe, this is the report of the Lord, by the way, is God's word. Are you going to believe what God's word says? That no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rise up against you, he shall condemn? Are you going to believe the report of the Lord where he says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world? Are you going to believe the report of the Lord where he says, what I have joined together, let no man put asunder? Are you going to believe the report of the Lord where he said, I shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory? Are you going to believe the report of the Lord where he says, all things work to good together for the good of them that love God and are thee called according to his. Hey, listen to me. You and I must make a decision. Am I going to walk on facts or am I going to walk on faith? If Peter looked at the facts, he would have never got out of the boat. But give me somebody that's a Peter that says, hey, I'll get out of the boat. Nobody else will, but I will, because Christ is out there. I want to be where he's at. Somebody shout hallelujah. My, oh my. This is so good. Number four, their decision. Everybody say decision. Look at Numbers 13. Because here you have purpose, Pastor Carl, Pastor Jamie, you have purpose. You have crossroad, you have report. But now you have a decision. Numbers 13 and verse 30. And Caleb, look at the decision here. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And what did he say? What did he say? Let us go up at once. No, he didn't say, well, as soon as gun smoke's over, let's go. No, he said, let us go up at once. No, as soon as I take my kids to soccer practice, we'll do it. As soon as I get my finances right, we'll do it. As soon as I just get, listen, we need some Calebs in the house of God that says, let us go up at once and possess it. My, oh my. For we are well able. He didn't say, I am well able. He said, we. I want somebody on my team that can believe in me. I want somebody on my team that can believe in we. That says, hey, we, you can't do it by yourself. You need help, and I'm here to help you. We are a team. And if the team work can make the dream work, we need to have some we mentalities and say, we are more than able to take the land. Boy, this is good. But then he says, we're able to overcome it, but look what happens to 31, verse 31. It says, but the men that went up with him, we're talking about 2 out of 12 in this first segment, but the men that went up with him, they said this, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Halt between two opinions. This is their decision. The decision was this. Everybody say decision. The decision is 2 out of 12. The decision was 2 out of 12. I submit to you this morning, there are people in this room who are living on the border of what could have been. You have failed for the decision of 2 out of 12. These are the people who are the 10 spies who are living unfulfilled. The 2 out of 12. The 10, these 10 people who are living unfulfilled. The 10 spies. These 10 are the people who are determined to not go back to Egypt. But they are also determined to not go into Promised Land. They're stuck right there on the borders of what could have been. You may be here this morning and you have chosen to not live the lifestyle that God got you out of, that you used to be. You may have decided to make, I'm not going back to be that old person, but you're still not living in total victory. You're living on the border of what just could have been. And let me tell you and advise you real quickly. Don't think for a moment that your choices don't have a lasting effect on others. Primarily your family, which we're going to see here in a few moments. Think about this. The 40 years, this generation that refused to go into Promised Land, having to be exiled and wander in the desert for 40 years. The 40 years of wandering in a desert, think about this. It all happened in the vicinity and the fringe on the Promised Land. That's where it all happened. And there's people today, this morning, that's all you're doing. You're just wandering on the border of what could have been. It's right there for the taking. God says, take the land. But you're wandering. You're part of that 10 spies. The Hebrews wandered on this border of their purpose and destiny without ever experiencing it. That's a shame. I've been there before. I've been on that border before where I have just stood on the border and just thought, man, maybe, and it's a horrible place to be. I want to move in to the next phase that God has for me. How about you? Because of a simple report, a generation of Hebrews became a people living on the border of what could have been. You know what? Some people will always settle with a 10 spy mentality and a 10 spy faith. Anytime you want to go forward in faith, let me tell you this, and this is the truth. Anytime that you want to move forward, Sister Courtney, anytime you want to move forward in faith, the vote against you will always be 10 to 2. It will always be 10 to 2. I remember trying to do some things in churches that I've pastored and felt like this is what God wants to do. And we bring it forth, and it's like there's always the 10 spies that says, oh, we've tried to do that before. Oh, it's not going to work. Oh, it's going to cost too much money. Oh, it's going to... And just have that mentality. The vote will always be against you, 10 to 2. What we have to have is some people say, with all due respect, Whether you vote for me or not, we're still going to obey God and serve Him and take the land. Do we have anybody that can buck the system and says, no, 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 no. We're going to do it because you're either going to be on the team with us or you're going to be sitting on the sidelines watching us go to victory and march for the kingdom of God. We would rather you be on the team, but that's your decision. With me, somebody this morning that will roll their sleeves up and take the land. It says, for we, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's better for us to obey God, to obey man. Give me somebody with some courage in the house of God. This morning you have a choice to have a Joshua and Caleb faith or to have a 10 spy faith. You know, you can settle for living the rest of your life on the borders of what could have been. Or you can be as Caleb. And I love what he says. Let us go up at once, possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Despite the circumstance, Caleb had faith in God. He set aside his ability. He set aside his potential. Caleb spoke conquerorship and victory in faith, and he was willing to pursue it in that instant. Look at Isaiah. It's on your screen. Isaiah 1 and 19. It says, if you be willing and obedient, you can eat of the good of the land. That's the two requirements, willing and obedience. I think it was Sister Haley that posted a meme. I've seen it before. But this is so true. I saw my wife's cousin post the same thing. You have a crowd of people that says, I believe in God. But then you have very few that says, I obey God. You know, we could say we believe in God all we want, but if we're not obeying God, He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We need to have a group of people that says, I'm going to obey God. Amen? You guys got quiet all of a sudden. This is going to bring me to your life point. Look at your life points on the screen. The greatest heritage you can leave your family is a life of faithfulness in your faith. When I wrote that out, I couldn't help but think about Pastor Crystal's father, one of the most faithful men that I ever met in my entire life. I've watched him literally crawl down a hallway because his back was out, but he's crawling in his work clothes to go to work. I've watched him be faithful when things have been so terrible in his life. But he's taught my wife about faithfulness. You guys don't know this, but my wife comes to church and she's carrying such a burden for the church. She's carrying such a burden for her husband, for her family. She's carrying such a burden for you. But she's also carrying a burden for the school that she's at. And it's almost every day and it's okay. She tells me what's happening in her life. But she's faithful. She gets up. She prays. She doesn't feel like it. But she prays. That was handed down to her. That is a heritage. The greatest heritage you can leave your family is a life of faithfulness in your faith. Your faith in God. So what we have is this next segment that I want to share with you. The second segment is simple. What you see versus what others see. Do you know there's a difference? Even what you see versus what God sees, there's a difference. What you see versus what others see. So you have these spies, and you're in this 10-2, right? Two out of 12. You got this 10-2 mentality, okay? And so this is what we have to realize. The very first thing, let's build a foundation of discovery. And let's understand who we are in God. And I want to show you this. It's on your screen. It's very simple. We have a God. Come back here. We have a God who keeps His word. And we are people who live by His promises. That's the bottom line. We have a God who keeps His word. And we are a people who live by His promises. Okay? We built that foundation. But now we're at this point where there are the problems. You're here this morning and you may be having some of these problems. But with every problem, there's a promise. That's what's so beautiful about God. Because God, who keeps His word, we're grateful for that. But He also teaches us We're people, we must live by His promises. So here's the problem. Number one, the first problem, it's going to be on your screen. The other spies, these 10 spies, they could not see victory because they could not see past their circumstance. That may be you this morning. You may not be able to see past your circumstance right now. Your marriage may be over. It's what you feel, but you can't see past it. You can't see past victory in your marriage. You can't see past victory in your business, in raising your children. You can't see past these things. That's the problem that many people have. But remember, we are a people who live by His promises. And here's His promise right now. You ready for His promise? His promise is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Aren't you grateful for that promise this morning? Somebody needed that. Number two, let's look at the problem. Here's another problem the spies had. The other spies could not see victory because they were pulling from their limited resources. Notice, I italicize their limited resources. You cannot win. You cannot take the land in your own strength. You can't do it in your own power. You will hit a brick wall and you will fall flat on your face if you're trying to do it in your own strength. Amen? Here's the promise. The promise is Philippians 4:19. My God, everybody say, my God, shall supply all of your need. Someone say, all of your need. According to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Aren't you grateful for that? But there's another problem. Number three, let's look at the next problem. The other spies could not see victory because they compared themselves with the enemy. Maybe we have people today, you're just comparing yourself with somebody else. That's not God's will for your life. Quit trying to design your life after somebody else. Follow God. Follow Christ. You're never going to find destiny and fulfillment if you're trying to live somebody else's life. I need to pause for a moment and just warn you. Let me just be honest with you. Quit getting advice from ungodly people. Amen. They will take you down faster than you could ever believe. Get your advice from wise counsel, from godly people, from His Word. Don't get your opinions and your advice from someone that's not living for God. That's a dangerous precedent. That's the problem they had. They compared themselves with the enemy. But here's the promise. Everybody ready for the promise? Look at Romans 8:35, this is the promise. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, I'm not going to compare myself with this, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are, get it in your spirit, we are. I need to get somebody that says, not just a conqueror, but we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Through Him that loved us. Look at 38. For I am persuaded that neither death... I'm going to tell you something. Death causes a lot of problems. Now, death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm grateful for today that God loved us so much. Yes, I've made mistakes. Yes, I've missed His will. But guess what? I serve a loving God that has His arms wide open and says, come home, come home. I love you. I love you. My mercy endureth forever. My loving kindness is at your feet. Just reach out to me and watch me embrace your life. Thank God today. Ephesians 4:27 says, give no place to the devil. So when we're comparing, we're giving place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. You know, God is an amazing God. He's so amazing, there's none beside Him. There's none like Him. Last problem we have is this problem. The other spies cannot see victory because they were fearful. They were fearful. Fear comes in so many packages, in so many forms. But the promise is this. 2 Timothy 1 and 7, the Apostle Paul writes to his next pastor, his young pastor, and he says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind." Say it again. That wasn't everybody. Say it one more time. See, there's power in your words. You've got to take that scripture and speak to fear right now and say, "God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind." Power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. And so when you're going out and you said, "You know what? I've heard what Pastor JC is talking about. I don't want to settle by living on the border of what could have been. I want to move into the promised land. I want to take the land." You've got to look at fear and say, "God, that fear is not from you, God. That is a devil, and I'm not going to resist it anymore. I'm going to go forth and I'm going to say, God, you've given me power, love, and a sound mind. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. Thank God that I can trust in Him and He can lead me in all His ways." So how do I apply this to my life? I want you to see this. Put this life point back up here. The greatest heritage you can leave your family is a life of faithfulness in your faith. I want you to see something here because this is really interesting. Numbers 13, when you look at the Bible here, Numbers 13 should have been the final chapter of the book of Numbers. Numbers 13 should have been it. Should have been the final chapter. But because of an evil report, the book of Numbers continued. They had to write Numbers 14. It could have stopped right then. I'm looking at some people that got some final chapters in your life. I want you to think about this. Look at Numbers 14. Now God has to write Numbers 14 because of an evil report. Look what happens here in verse 1. It says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried and said to the people," and the people wept that night. And look at verse 2. "And all the children of Israel murmured against leadership, murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt.'" Was it really that bad? You're going to see why they think it's this bad. Pay close attention. "Would God we have died in the wilderness. And wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword?" Now look what's next. "That our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt." Now you see why it is the worst day for the Hebrews, for the Jewish people, the ninth of all. Because of their unbelief and their evil report they brought to Moses, the people, they lost out on their promised land. They lost out on their promised land. I'm looking at some people, you're at that final chapter and you've got to make a decision. You're about to lose out if you do not cross over. They doubted themselves into defeat, back into a place of bondage, back into bondage. I say that's the give up mentality. That's the feeling, having feelings of hopelessness mentality. It's a horrible place to be. It's not fulfilling. In fact, the writer of Hebrews even talks about it in chapter 3 and verse 19 on your screen. It says, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." It's just simple. Could not enter a promised land because of unbelief. Notice what happens. I want you to pay close attention, please. Notice what happens when you choose a 10 spy mentality. Look at Numbers 14 and 3 one more time. "And wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" This is what happens when you choose a 10 spy mentality. When you choose a 10-spy, when you have this 10-spy mentality in faith, guess what you do? You choose the death of faithfulness and faith. You choose the death. You choose death of faithfulness and faith. These spies, it's going to be on your screen. I want you to put that up there, Caleb. These spies were so afraid that the giants would kill their children, they ended up killing their children's faith, faithfulness, and spirit by being cowards. Maybe the reason your children are backslidden is because you're not a person of faith and faithfulness. Maybe your children, listen, you don't think it affects your children? You think missing Sunday mornings is not having an effect on your children? You think missing prayer meetings, missing special events and revivals, missing reading your Bible and praying is not affecting your children? It's affecting them. It is killing, it is death to your children's faith and faithfulness. Remember, my life point, the life point is this, and it's on your screen. The greatest heritage you can leave your family is a life of faithfulness in your faith. Listen, you think you can leave them money? They'll have that money spent within a year. They'll take it to the casino and blow it all. But you got to leave them something worth leaving, and that's faithfulness and faith in God. I believe the best way to make true and pure application of this message is to determine what your final chapter is. What will your final chapter be? Think about this morning. What will your final chapter be this morning in your life? Young people, don't think that you've got forever. That is a horrible... I mean, I was young. I used to think when I was a teenager, I had my whole life in front of me. Until my cousin committed suicide. Then I realized, you know what? I'm not promised tomorrow. So I had to make my mind up and say, I need to live for God. Things are shaking all over in this world and in this nation. And we're not promised tomorrow. You see how vulnerable everybody is in this life. What will your final chapter be? Will your final chapter be a life and destiny fulfilled inside the promised land? Or will your final chapter be a life living and dying on the borders of what could have been? Just what could have been. Hebrews 12:2 tells us right now, looking unto Jesus, Sister Linda Wallen, I never saw it this way until just the other day. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, of our faithfulness. When I die, I'll stand before God. I'll stand before Christ and He'll say, why should I let you in? It's very plain. Jesus says, many will come to Him in that last day and say, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in Thy name? Lord, Lord, have I not cast out devils in Thy name? Lord, Lord, have I not done many wonderful works? Those wonderful works include, I was working in the nursery. I was working with the youth. I was driving the van. I was singing on a praise team. I was giving to the poor and all these things. And Jesus says these words that are horrifying. Depart from me, for I never knew you. God always rewards faithfulness. And your faith in Him. Doing is just the sum of being a Christian. I can do these things. That's fine. But it's not about doing. It's about being and it's about knowing. I want to know God. That's the final chapter. We have a God. Put it on your screen, Caleb. We have a God who keeps His word. And we are a people who live by His promises. That's what it means. You must keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the author. And that's how I saw it. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. Caleb kept his eyes on Christ. You know what? The story is this. Joshua and Caleb, they got to go in a promised land. Although they had to wander around with those unbelievers for a long time, they still went into the promised land. What a beautiful, beautiful foreshadow of the remnant church. The remnant church says, hey, we're going to go. We're going to go up. We're going to get up. We're going to go up. We're going to spy out the land. We're going to take the land. We are more than able to do it. That's the remnant church. And there may be believers with them, but there's some that's folding their arms. And it says, oh, we did it. We tried that before. Well, they're still believers. But that remnant church has to go up. Tomorrow, they're saying. Are you ready for this? I've heard people say this. I get kind of tickled, but it could happen. Being Yom Terah, the day of trumpets, they said, tomorrow is the rapture of the church. You remember 1988? Some of you are probably old enough to remember this. 88 reasons why Jesus is coming in 1988. Well, it's 2025. He didn't come, right? The writer went back and wrote another book. No, I mean 1989, right? He messed up. But everybody's saying they're going to blow the trumpet. Listen, I'm going to take my shofar home tonight. I'm going to take my shofar home. I'm going to play it 100 times just like they do. Just exactly how they teach in Yom Terah. I'm going to anticipate that Jesus is going to come, our Messiah, our HaMashiach, that He's going to come. I'm going to anticipate. But you know what? Even if He doesn't come, I'm still ready. But He could come. Let's stand together. I want to go into the promised land. I want to take the land. Do we have anybody with your head bowed and your eyes closed? Anybody in this room that says, Pastor JC, with an uplifted hand says, I want to take the land. I want to take the land. I want to take the land. That's like 100%. I want to take the land. Listen, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit and life in Christ Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death. So in other words, thank God for faith in God. Yeah, you made some mistakes and missteps in life, but God is full of mercy and He forgives us. But don't take that baggage into the promised land. Don't take that with you. Say, I'm going to leave it behind and I'm going to go forth. Their head bowed and eyes closed. Just for a minute, Pastor Crystal, just real, real quietly. Lamond, I have a word for you. Go ahead and come to these drums. You mind, Lamond? I know your children are here. I have a word for you, Lamond. Lamond, I see you, son, taking the land for God's glory. You are highly influential in your area, but God is going to use you, Lamond, to take the land. Go ahead and do these drums. God is going to use you, and there's a special anointing in your life, and the devil's tried to take that anointing off of you, but God is going to use him. Look, Carl, God is going to use Lamont. God is going to use Lamont and going to take the land.
Yes,
God. We have anybody else in the room that says, hey, God, I want you to use me in my sphere of influence to take the land. I see Courtney being used to take the land. I see Billy being used in his sphere of influence to take the land. I see people walking into Christian, the bookstore there. And Sister Linda praying. I gave her that word a couple of weeks, about a month ago. I gave her that word where God is going to perform miracles inside of that Christian bookstore. In that prayer room, God is going to perform miracles. You know why? Because Linda says, I'm going to take the land. There's so much of libel that needs to be turned upside down for the cause of Christ. There's so much of Mississippi County that needs to be turned upside down for the cause of Christ. I want to take the land. Marky, take the land.
Yes.
Jeff, Pam, take the land. Take the land, Donna Chu. Take the land, Michelle. Take the land, John. Take the land. God has given us the land. Let's go forth. We are well able and more than able to go and take what belongs to us. I want us to come and fill these altars this morning and ask God for the anointing on your life. Ask what specifically I want you to pray for. God, anoint my life. It's the anointing that destroys you up. God, anoint my life. Will you come and pray? Anoint my marriage. Anoint my life. Anoint me and my child. Anoint my life. I want to take the land. No more am I going to let the devil take and steal what he has given. I'm not going to give him authority. He is trespassing against the child of God. I'm taking the land for his glory. Hallelujah!
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.